Welcome, listeners, to our podcast. Welcome to Unchained Voices, where we explore the journey towards Black freedom and liberation. We are your hosts,
Mar,
Miko,
Grace.
We're asking a powerful question. What does true freedom and liberation for Black people look like? For centuries, Black people have fought for freedom, for slavery and segregation, to the ongoing battle against systematic racism today. But liberation isn't just about breaking chains. It's about reclaiming space, thriving in joy, building a future with justice and equality, and reality is not just a dream. In this episode, we explore different perspectives from history and today's movement, hearing from voices who envision what Black liberation truly means in 2024. So join us as we explore the fight, the resilience, and the vision of a future of complete freedom. Throughout history, Black liberation has been a relentless struggle, from the transatlantic slave trade and civil rights movement today's fight for equality. Social justice movement have risen to change systematic inequality. Black leaders like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X fought for justice in a society built on oppression. Yet, amid these struggles, Black joy has always been a form of resistance, expression, culture, love, and resilience, even in the face of hardship. As we envision future freedom, we look towards a world where Black people can live without fear, access equal opportunities, and celebrate their identity and peace. One quote that resonates deeply with us comes from Audre Lorde, who said, "I am not free while any woman is unfree, even when her shackles are very different from our own." It reminds us that our liberation is interconnected and we must fight for the freedom of all.
What does freedom and liberation for Black people look like?
Well, what freedom and liberation means to me for Black people, number one, the most important thing is self-worth and self-love. It's like the initial source of freedom and liberation. To realize, to understand, to believe that you're a child of God, no matter what anyone perception or belief of you is, they don't know your heart and soul. They don't know the talents or the gifts, royalty that you were blessed with. The second one, or next, is being educated. So you can learn the things like communicating your wants and needs and all that turns into becoming wealthier. Your status in society grows because money talks and wealth is powerful. And the last thing I know for a fact what causes freedom and liberation in the Black community is unity. We must forget about competition, hate, and jealousy. And I would like to quote something from the great Marcus Garvey. "We were like crabs in a barrel that none would allow the other to climb over. But at any such attempt, all would continue to pull into that barrel the one crab that would make the effort to climb out." And that's a lack of unity, but something we have to focus in on. Okay, the next question. What framework is guiding Black politics today?
For me, I feel like critical race theory, because it examines the systematic structures of racism and societal structures which impact, you know, the Black community. When we think about systematic racism, we think about ways that the Black community are being policed, and how different laws are implemented, as well as, you know, how certain laws can implement the educational system. I feel like the educational system as a whole needs improvement.
No, I totally agree with that about the educational system. The part you the critical race theory, I think, is an important component about it, because we're taught from the very beginning about, like, American excellence and not about, like, all the bad things that happen, right? Like, the country's foundation is based upon slavery. It's based upon the subjugation of Black people, right? And I think that's such an important component about it. And I think that, you know, talking about slavery, you think about abolition, and we think about it in the traditional sense of abolition of slavery. But we don't think about abolition, like, in a further sense. Like, I think what the Black Lives Matter movement is doing, abolition of, like police brutality, like you mentioned earlier. Like, that's state-endorsed violence. And, like, the only way, and you think about the role of the police, you think about the role of prisons as a legacy of slavery. The 13th Amendment allows slavery for those who are in prison. And, like, I think that's, like, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement as an abolitionist movement, I think, is so important, because it's carrying on the fight. You know, like, how do you, we've seen so many decades of different movements of integration. Where has that got us now? And you see the results of that, and you realize that what they did in the 1860s, the abolition of slavery, was a violent thing. The Civil War, even if it wasn't the express purpose, it was the outcome of it, the abolition of slavery. You see, the decade after slavery, you had already Black senators, Black congressmen, Black, you know, I guess, Black commerce, right? You see, like, all of this, like, that first decade after the Civil War is, like, we're coming out strong. And then you start having all of these laws, Jim Crow and all that coming out, race riots, trying to destroy that. So it's like Black Lives Matter is kind of radical, but I feel like that's kind of what you need. And I think is what is guiding a certain segment of Black political thought today, is the abolitionist legacy carrying over. And I think that education is so important to continuing that, I feel like you said, Miko, because without it, how do we have the tools to, like Audre Lorde, to break down the master's house, right? It's completely unending what white America has taught us, and giving ourselves our own tools to break down that house. I feel like that's what maybe one of the guiding frameworks today. All right, so the question is, who are you in your community?
I am a ray of light. I offer wisdom and unity. My community is my safe space, and I like to uplift people and to foster sense of encouragement and support. I think that's very important, to uplift your community and provide them with the resources that they need to succeed.
Okay. I am a mental health awareness advocate and community rights activist. as I go throughout the community and the streets of the community, I'm going to uplift you one way or another. I encourage you and let you know you have gifts and talents. Utilize them and improve our community as a community rights activist. One of the things I do is I go around the streets with a sign that says, "We shall overcome with love." And my love is actually a heart. It's shaped like a heart. And it's glittery. It has glitter on it. And it causes people to smile when they see it. And it reminds them of Martin Luther King Jr.'s marches and community. And as far as being a mental health awareness advocate, no, there's no shame in my game. I'm going to seek help because that's intelligent. And I want to get better to serve my community.
Do you feel like that when we go to, like, I guess, the issues that impact the most vulnerable populations, like, you know, black women who are queer, do you feel like that helps the black community as a whole? Or do you feel that since it's such a targeted approach, since it's so specific, that it isn't applicable to everybody else? What do you think? Do you feel like that's too specific? It doesn't help everybody? Or do you feel like by going by this for the specific problems, it helps everybody else?
Okay, I'm going to try to answer this.